God's love is the ultimate, the absolute, the true reality, while sin is a kind of terror in that reality. Sin is really more like nothing than like something. Sin is an absence. It is a lack. It is a disharmony and a fracture. Sin is resistance to God's grace. It is a rejection of God's love. Sin is loving what is unloving. It is also the opposite of freedom. Sin is also something that never has anything new to say, just the same old lies repeated over and over. Sin is the lust to dominate. It is taking what is not given. Sin is the misuse of power given to us for good. It embodies the powerful insolence of desire. Sin dismisses the endless goodness of God, and it glorifies the fallen appetites of man. Sin confuses the finite with the infinite. It wills to divinize the finite and to humanize the infinite. Sin basically asserts that God is not God, but that we are God. And when it comes to sin, everyone is essentially capable of doing just about anything, no matter how hurtful or harmful. Sin is always a great swindle that promises so much but delivers so little. Sin separates us from ourself, from one another, and from God. Sin is only what makes us unhappy. It is what leads us away from life and leads us towards death. Sin means eternal damnation, while forgiveness means eternal salvation. And so, it is of the greatest possible importance that on Pentecost, we remember that Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain, they are retained." As St. Paul wrote to the Church of Rome in today's second reading, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. The Spirit has put to death the deeds of the body, and those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption, through whom the Spirit cries out, "Abba, Father." Through the grace of the Lord's death and rising, through water and the Holy Spirit, we are all now children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Remember that the Holy Spirit is the love that without beginning or ending has always united God the Father to God the Son, out of no necessity, but out of endless love. God has sent that same Holy Spirit to live in our lives as the forgiveness of our sins. God is so good. He holds nothing back. He shares His life, His love, His Son, and His Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who connects us with God. It is the Holy Spirit who comforts us and guides us. It is the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers the sacraments. It is the Holy Spirit who opens heaven for us and offers us greater honor than even given to the angels. The grace of the Holy Spirit, God now sees and loves in us what he sees and loves in his only begotten Son. And so there is simply no end to God's love for us. Our new life in Christ begins with baptism and confirmation, where we do die to sin and are born again in grace. But it is also true that even the just, even devout Christian believers, fail daily through our human weakness and through the lingering effects of original sin. We all sin. But God has given us the means for continuing conversion. Confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, wipes away our sins and renews all the rich and abundant grace of baptism. Remember that God sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. What a deal! What a gift! We can come to the confessional burdened by sin, sad and suffering. But after the words of absolution, we leave the confessional liberated, with our sins forgiven and our souls healed. We are also, in that sacrament, strengthened by the Holy Spirit to follow Christ more closely by loving God and neighbor more fully. I think it's also significant that both our rebellion against God and our reconciliation with God, they are both symbolized by a human act of eating. Adam and Eve, our first parents, were freely offered every other delight in the Garden of Eden, but chose instead to eat the single forbidden fruit that only brought misery and death. But in the Lord's Eucharist, we are now freely offered every delight of heaven that will surely bring satisfaction and joy in a world without end. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in the rich banquet of the Eucharist, we may feast upon the Word of God. Through the gifts of the Spirit, our minds are illuminated and our hearts may be set on fire. And it is also through the power of the Holy Spirit that ordinary bread and wine truly become the body and blood, the soul and the divinity of our glorified, risen Savior. The bread of angels has become the bread of men, our food for the journey, our medicine for sin, our antidote to death itself. It is only through the same Spirit that we may become a part of what we receive, the very body of Christ, making us children of God. So at this Pentecost Mass, at this holy sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, may we pray with more intensity than ever before. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your gifts and enkindle within us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and renew us. Renew the face of the earth.